What a privilege we have this morning to be able to call the God of all creation Father. In fact, Jesus invited us, taught us how to pray. And when he did, he taught us, and by teaching us, invited us to pray this way: Our Father, which art in heaven. What hope, what assurance we have this morning to be able to call God, the one that has created all things, Father. A Father that loves and cares and yea, gave his life that we could all be saved. Lord willing, this message this morning will be the last message of the series of being spiritually alive and being ready when the Lord calls our name. But when you think about that, that's really why we come to church. That's really what all messages and our services are about, is being alive and being ready. This morning's message focus is on that last element that we have been speaking of for quite some time now, referring to the last several weeks, and that is that we live our lives so that there is nothing between. Nothing between our soul and the Savior. I don't want anything between. When I get to the end of the way, I want it to be clear. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect in all respects, but there's going to be nothing between. Really, this morning, this is part two of nothing between, because last Sunday was a preface to this message this morning on having nothing between our soul and Jesus. And if you weren't here last Sunday, I would encourage you, invite you to listen, to go back and listen to last Sunday's message. It had to do with our relationships with other people, with maintaining our relationships with other people, being a peacemaker, being a bridge builder, being a source of words fitly spoken. Because having nothing between our relationships with other people is very much a part of having nothing between our relationships with Jesus. And in fact, it goes further than that. The Lord calls on us to do what we can in life to help there be nothing between the relationships of other people. Not just between ourselves and others, but as we have opportunity, that we be a peacemaker, that we be a bridge builder, that we may be a source of words fitly spoken to help the relationship between other people. One of these days, the Lord is going to call my name to step over and cross the threshold of this time world and step into the eternal. This congregation well knows, we are well acquainted. With what that looks like with other people from this side of the eternal. We have experienced many, many of our group and our church family pass to the other side in the last several years. And one of these days, it's going to be me. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, maybe the Lord will give me extra time and I'll be here for a few years. I don't know. But when it happens, because it will happen, it's going to happen for every one of us. It's going to happen. And I am not the one that chooses when. It's not given to me to say, Lord, wait until this time because I have these things that I want to do and then I'll make sure that all is right and then you can call my name. It's not given to me to make that decision. And so when the Lord calls my name to step over that threshold where time is no more and eternity stretches into the infinite future, I don't want there to be anything between my soul and the Savior. I don't want there to be sins of commission. I don't want there to be sins of omission. I don't want there to be sins of disposition or anything else in between. I want my soul to be clear with the Lord. We've heard about all of these types of sins. When you talk about different types of sins, I'm not trying to identify every exact bucket of sin, but there are sins of commission, sins that of things that we do, that we take action in areas that we know we're not supposed to take action in. I did. I committed something that I shouldn't have committed. I stole. I lied. I committed adultery. I bore false witness. Yes, all of those. But it goes farther than that too. I was willing for pride to reside in my life. I was willing to live a life where carnality became part of my identity. I was a talebearer. I was one that stirred up strife. Sins of commission. Things I did. And then there's things of omission. Sins of omission. Those things that the Lord, He comes and He says, Rod, this is an area right here where you need to let go of. You need to set this to the side so that you might be better able to follow me. And I choose not to lay that thing to the side. I just keep going in the way that I always went. Or I didn't take something on that the Lord has asked me to take on. Rod, you need to take this now into your life to be my servant. And I look at it and I say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to do what's right, but I really don't want to do that. Sin of omission. We don't take something on that we should take on. We don't do what we should do. Do you remember the man that went to the wedding and came to the front door and they said, Sir, welcome to the wedding. Welcome to the feast. You are welcome. The price has been paid for you to come in. We have a place for you. Here, we have a wedding garment for you to put on. Put on the wedding garment. Enter in and enjoy. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the feast. And the man said, I really don't want to put that on. I don't want to take that into my life, but I want to go into the wedding. And so he went into the wedding. But he omitted putting on the wedding garment. Sin of omission. The Lord told the man, sell what you have and come and follow me. But he didn't want to do. Haven't we all been in those places where the Lord touches our lives and puts His finger on something, and it's difficult, and we don't want to do it, and we come to a decision point. What are we going to do? There's sins of disposition. If I could do it, I would do it. May not have the opportunity. Opportunity may never have come my way to do what I want to do, but if I had the opportunity, that's where my heart is, to do what I shouldn't do. The Lord looks at our hearts. More than anything else, we are people and we look at other people's lives, and we are so apt to judge other people by what we see with our eyes and what they do. Sometimes it's harder to judge by what they don't do, but we judge on that too. But sometimes it's hard for us really to get in and understand where their heart is. But the Lord looks on our heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And when I get to the end of the way, I'm going to have more than just say, Lord, I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that, and I did this, and I did this. The Lord's going to look at our heart. Sins of disposition, of heart. It's human nature. For us to want to do what we want to do. And I think that it's also something that God put in our heart that we want to be accepted of God. Does anybody here not want to be accepted of God? I don't think anybody here this morning doesn't want to be accepted of God. And yet we are pulled so hard. We want to be named by the name of Christ, but we want to do it our own way. There's a verse in Isaiah, the 4th chapter, and the first verse, you don't have to turn there, but it goes something like this. It says, in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, we're going to let us eat our own bread. We want to eat our own bread. We want to wear our own apparel, but we want to be called by your name to take away our reproach. We want to have the benefit, if you will, of being called by your name, but we want to do it our way. But we want to be named by your name. And we can read that verse and we can say, well, that doesn't sound good at all. That's not a good thing. I'm glad I'm not that person. But folks, we have to be diligent in our lives every day. Otherwise, we're going to be found in that same place. Because I think all of us here, we want to be called by the name of Jesus. When He comes back, we want to be called by His name. We want Him to recognize us as one of His. But I can't live my life where I say, but I don't want to do that, Lord. And the Lord says, Rod, you need to take this on. I said, but I don't want to take that on, but I want to be called by your name. Or the Lord says, Rod, you need to put that off. I said, but I don't want to put that off. But Lord, I want to be called by your name. Or the Lord says, Rod, you're going to have to get rid of that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that place in your heart that's not righteous. And it's like, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be called by your name, but I can't let go of that. That's just going to have to be the way it is. Lord, help us. Willful neglect and decisions that we make that lead to these types of sin that come between our soul and the Savior, it can so quickly result and having things between us and the Lord, so that, sadly, the day comes where the Lord calls our name and it's my turn, and I open the door of my house and there stands the end of time and He says, it's your turn. And I go and I meet the Lord and there's these things in between, and the Lord looks at me and he says, like He did to the man at the wedding feast that didn't want to put on the wedding garment, and the Lord said, depart from me, and cast him into outer darkness. Eternal separation from life and light. I never knew you. I don't want to be there. That's not where I want to end up. And thank the Lord this morning, we don't have to end up there. You don't have to end up there. No one here this morning. That's the good news of the gospel. We have hope. God doesn't want this to be so. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It is sin that separates us from Jesus. And Jesus came to take care of that sin in us that separates. He came to bring forgiveness for the thing that we had no way to atone for. Came as our answer. However, we have a responsibility too. And our responsibility is that we not continue to live and in the business of doing wrong. Our part is that we change direction. Change direction. And we follow after Jesus. That's our part. That's our responsibility. And we've been talking about our part. Our part is that we believe into Jesus. Not believe that He's just God's Son. Not believe that there's just one God. But we believe in a way that we want the way of Jesus to be our way. We want to take on who He is. We believe into Jesus. Into. We repent. We repent of those things that we know that is wrong in our life. Where there's more than just regret and more than just, I wish I wouldn't have done that, but repentance means a turning away from. Turning away from. That's what repentance means. That we grow a relationship with Jesus. Grow a relationship with Jesus. That we're not satisfied with just being named as part of a group. We're not satisfied with just being associated with a particular body of people. We're not satisfied with following a set of rules that everybody else looks at and says, I approve and you're one of us. We're not good with just that. That's not what the most important thing is in our life. We are interested in growing our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And finally, that we live. So that there's nothing between. And really, this last element is doing these three things. Over and over. And in other words, having nothing between is living our lives so that we grow our relationship with Jesus constantly. And if we see that there's a barrier, we do something about it. If we find that we've done wrong, we repent. We ask for forgiveness. We say, I'm sorry. Why is it so hard sometimes for human beings to say, I am sorry? I was wrong. Three of the most difficult words in the English language wrapped up in that. I was wrong. I am sorry from the heart. Why is it so hard sometimes for us to say those words when we know we did wrong? We know we've hurt somebody. Be willing to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And the Lord asks us that we do that with our fellow man. And then come to an altar of prayer, and maybe it's an altar in your home, your bed, your closet, a private place, and you repent to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, and Lord, help me turn away from that and live a different way. Lord, help me to believe into You, to give my life to understand who You are. And we do this on an ongoing basis to keep nothing between, so that the enemy can't get his foot in the door, sneak something in, and then we just keep living because we point back to years ago where we made everything right, and then we just go live however we want to live again, and in the process, stuff sneaks in. I don't want anything to sneak in. What does having nothing between involve? Nothing between the soul and the Savior means cultivating. Cultivating a pure, an undistracted, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, where we're putting Him first, and we do it in a way that He's willing to take up residence in our lives. Is the Lord willing to take up residence in your life? Has the Lord taken up residence in your life? Or do we live each day doing things, thinking things, going places, participating in things, taking things into our life that's so contrary to the word of the Lord that the Lord's not willing to take up residence in our life? Things that come in between. Keeping nothing between means giving ourselves to a practice, a cycle, if you will, of self-examination, where when we see barriers, when we see those things that maybe are wrong in our life, when we get off in the wrong direction, we say, Lord, help me. Some scripture. In Lamentations 3 and 40, Jeremiah the prophet said, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. How often do we search and try our ways? Do we live our lives where we live with a prayer where we've planted ourselves by the rivers of water and we search and we try our ways, and when we discover things that shouldn't be there, we turn again unto the Lord. Keep nothing between. Search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. It's like probably most of us here have GPS in our vehicle. And you put in where it is you're trying to go. And it says, go this way for this many miles and then turn right and then go this way and turn left. And we're always looking at that GPS to make sure, am I going the right way? Did I get off track? And if we do get off track and we take a wrong turn, maybe we get in congested traffic. There's a whole other message with that. A lot of congestion out there. Be careful where you travel. It can get congested. Makes it hard to make the turns that you need to make. You need to know what road you're going down. But how often do we go along and maybe we take a wrong turn? And then it says rerouting. Go up here, take a right, take a left, get back on the right road. Searching, trying our ways, looking to see each day, am I going the right way? I'm trying to get home, trying to follow Jesus. This is not a timed scavenger hunt. This is not the Lord with the stopwatch, almost trying to look for winners and losers so that He can separate out and there can only be so many winners. It's not timed scavenger hunt. This is a Father in heaven, and He's inviting us to come and be part of His family. He's inviting us to come follow. And He's inviting us that if we get off course and we fall and we fail and we do what we wish that we wouldn't have done, that He has a process in place that we can repent. We can turn again unto the Lord. We can be salvaged. We can get back up. We can keep going. It doesn't have to be the end. It doesn't have to be, oh, I took the wrong turn. I missed it. I'm out. No, you're not out. Jesus came to help us understand how to get back on the road. If you want to be back on the road, if you want to follow, that's what the Lord wants for us. We've talked about prioritizing spiritual things. Reading the Word of God, praying, talking to Jesus to grow our relationship with Him, inviting His Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and lives. And this process involves making conscious efforts to listen for the sound of the voice of the Lord, that we're not drowning out the voice of the Lord with all the other things in life that we can give ourselves to. And the Lord's knocking. He's trying to get our attention. But we put so many other things first in our lives that we don't hear Him. We don't hear His voice. Perhaps at some point we're confronted with it. And we say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that's what He wanted me to do. But we weren't listening for Him. People say, I didn't know that was truth. I didn't see it that way. No, you didn't see it that way because you didn't want to see it that way. You never gave time and space for the Lord to come in and talk with you. He's light. You wanted to follow darkness. Of course you don't see it that way. It doesn't have to be that way. All of us can see. All of us can be on the right road. Jesus gave the key to that. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the 33rd verse, He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And it really means that. It doesn't mean seek second. It doesn't mean fit it in where you can fit it in. It doesn't mean live however you want, but just make sure that you're somehow associated with the Lord. It means seek first, make Him first. Make what's most important the most important in your life. And you know what I found? This is what I found in my life. If you don't make the Lord first in your life, then the things that are temporal in this life, that are there for us to enjoy, the enjoyment of those things are diminished. The temporal things. The joy of the temporal things are diminished when you don't put Jesus first. Because you're going into those things willingly with darkness in your life. You're going into them when you're not at peace with God. And it colors everything. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and make sure that you live your life where it's most important that there's nothing between you and the Savior, then the other things that are here for us to enjoy in this life, we can enjoy them to their fullest. All of us here have things in our lives that we, temporal things, that we fiercely protect every day, don't we? We don't want anything getting in the way of this time slot of the day because this is what I do. This is where I go. This is what I want to listen to. This is what I want to go participate in. I protect this time slot fiercely. Don't we do that often with things, temporal things? Do we do that with the Lord? Do we have the same sense of urgency, and do we want to protect those things just as strongly as we do the things that pass away? I don't know what touches your life. I don't know what in your life you cherish and hold on to and protect, but it's a good time to examine our lives because sometimes those things then get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. They can get in between. The Lord wants us to have peace. He wants us to have a longing in our hearts that there be nothing between our soul and the Savior. Every day. Not out of fear. Not in panic. What did I miss? Did I miss something? Oh, what if I'm wrong? What? No, the Lord's a shepherd. He's there to speak clearly to us, if we're willing to listen, to say this is the way, walk ye in it. But do we give ourselves to that? You have weaknesses in your life?
thorns in the flesh, failures, challenges that you face each day. What you don't want to do with those things is make it just you and that thing. Maybe because you don't want to confront it. Maybe you don't want to acknowledge it. Maybe it's too painful to think about separating from it. What you don't want to do is not take it to the Lord in prayer. He wants to be involved. Because those things can quickly become between you and the Savior. Are we going to encounter places in life that we're not proud about? Yeah. Yes. Are we going to stumble? Are we going to fall? Are we going to fail? There are going to be times in life where we realize we're not what the Lord wants us to be. Yeah. That doesn't have to come between you and the Savior. Bring it to Him. Allow Him to help you in that thing. Allow the Lord to help you through it and often out of it. A just man falls 7 times and rises again. Is there some kind of badge of honor in falling 7 times? Is that what that verse means? No. No, it's that a just man, it's that no matter what happens, Lord, even if I fall 7 times, I want so bad to have a relationship with you and have nothing between that I will continue to get up and I will continue to repent. I will continue to grow my relationship with you. I will continue to do everything I know to do so that there's nothing between. Sins of commission, sins of omission, disposition of heart. Thankful today that we serve a Lord who cares about us. Thankful that we serve a Father of love. He came to bring us life, yea, more abundant life. I'd like to add this important point in conclusion this morning. Yes, we have a part. We have a part that the Lord is calling us to, and it's not small. It is separating ourselves from the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the things that are not like God. We're separating ourselves unto Jesus Christ. We have a part in that and to follow, to do this. But with all of that said, I want to make this point. Always remember that in the end, it is the blood of Jesus that gets us in. Plead the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. This is not a process or a checklist where we can say, phew, okay, I'm earning my way. You cannot earn your way in. That is where our rest comes from. That is where our peace comes from, knowing that it is a gift of God. My salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift, grace. By grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. Plead the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. As Paul exhorted in Philippians 3 and 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Folks, we haven't made it yet. We haven't crossed the finish line yet. We haven't apprehended. Let's not spend too much time thinking about, being discouraged with, or having a false sense of security with past sins in the back, behind us, or places that we feel like we have had spiritual success. Forgetting those things which are behind, the Lord is calling us to look ahead and reach forth unto those things which are before and press
towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, so that we can experience spiritual life here in this temporal world. And when He comes and calls our name, we can be ready. We can be like the five wise virgins when at an unexpected time the bridegroom came. And they were able to get up by the grace of God, trim their lamps, go out to meet Him in peace. That's what I want to be able to do by the grace of God. May God bless each one of you is my prayer this morning. Amen.